morning. It's great to have an opportunity to fellowship with you this morning and just to reconnect, see some familiar faces, some new faces. But isn't it amazing the bond that exists in the Lord? And I think that's always so incredible that we're one in Christ. And often meet people you haven't seen for a while and just seem to pick up where you left off, right? The relationship is there, which is so encouraging. What I want to do this morning, Lord willing, is to go to 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to start in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And my kind of theme for this morning is when the authority of God's word is rejected, the result is apostasy. When the authority of God's word is rejected, the result is apostasy. Now, I want to frame this in two ways. First, a positive statement. When we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, this passage reminds us of the importance of the Bible. Say it another way, the centrality of the word of God. Say it another way, the sufficiency of Scripture, the completeness of God's message to us. God's word, the Bible, is God's message to us. He has spoken. He has preserved his word for us. And in that word, he communicates his truth to us. And we are to receive that truth, to submit to that truth, to apply that truth in our lives. That's on the positive side. A negative statement, we could say this. In this passage, we are warned about undervaluing the Bible. We are warned about the dangers of ignoring or neglecting God's word. We are cautioned about the harm and destruction caused by replacing God's word with our own philosophies. So we're saying the same thing from two different angles here. The basic truth, the takeaway is this. We need to have confidence in the scripture, and we need to have a commitment to live out the scripture, right? Confidence in the scripture and a commitment to live out the scripture. I think it's all too easy for us on a superficial level to say, oh, I believe the Bible. I read the Bible, whatever. I've memorized Bible verses. Maybe some of you can say, hey, I was raised in a Christian home. I went to Sunday school. I went to youth group. I've been to camp. I've listened to thousands of messages. I've read the Bible through a number of times. You know, it's easy to kind of say that. But I find increasingly I'm driven to re-emphasize the importance of the authority of God's word in our lives. Now, the scripture tells us that through God's great and precious promises, he's given us everything necessary for life and godliness. Okay, that's not just a fairy story. That's not just pie in the sky. This is truth for daily living. Right? The Lord has given us what we need for life. Think about it. The Bible describes how life began, where life came from. The Bible describes the creation of this world. The Bible describes the reason that we have existence, why the universe is in existence. The Bible, God's word, gives us those answers about life. And that tells us about our human life and the problems of human life. It describes to us the issue of sin and our separation from God and the breaking of spiritual life, the spiritual life that we have lost because of the entrance of rebellion and disobedience against the Lord. So the Bible gives us those answers. Like, where else can you go in this world to find those kind of answers, clear, unmistakable, authoritative answers about origins, about the meaning of life? The Bible also describes to us God's solution to the issue and problem of sin. It talks about life in Christ. New life in Christ, abundant life in Christ. It tells us how the Lord Jesus Christ loved us and came into this world to give himself for us on the cross. Where do you read about love like that? A love that sacrificed, a love that gave, a love that was willing to go to the nth degree. There's no comparison. There's no other love like this love. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, right? The Bible tells us about this great, magnificent love of God for you, for me, young and old alike, people of every walk of life, people from every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue in this world. The love of God has been declared for us through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the cross. There the Lord Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, took the sin of the world upon himself. Took my sin, your sin, upon himself. He paid an enormous price of suffering. And he gave his life, he shed his blood, so that we could be forgiven. So that we could be restored to God. So that we could be brought back into relationship with God. Where do you find a message like that? You find it in the Word of God. You find it in the Scripture. And the Scripture explains to us how we can be saved. The Scripture explains to us how we can go from a position of being estranged from God, strangers to the Lord, to becoming the friends of God. From being outside of the mercy of God to being included in the family of God. The Scripture describes that. And where else can you go to find those kind of answers? Nowhere. There's no other book, there's no other philosophy, there's no other religion that can show you the grace of God in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Every other idea and religion and philosophy says you got to work for it, you got to earn it, you got to prove yourself, you got to achieve, you got to climb the ladder, you got to do all these rituals, you got to achieve these milestones. And the Scripture says, no, you cannot be saved that way. You can only be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it all. He did the work. He provided the solution. He has worked salvation for us. And we receive it simply as a free gift of his grace. Wow. That's the glorious gospel of our blessed God. Is there any other gift like that? Paul calls it the indescribable gift. It's a gift that you can't even put into words. How do you fathom that? How do you describe such an enormous gift of love and kindness and grace and patience and mercy? There's nowhere else that you will find it but in the Bible. The Bible is God's message to mankind. The Bible is God's message to man. The Bible is God's message to you. Right? It comes to us individually, where the Lord shows his love and reaches out to us by the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God as his sword. And he cuts and he pierces and he exposes. And he convinces us of sin and righteousness and of judgment to come. And he leads us back to the cross to look at the Lord Jesus, to see him dying there, the innocent one who became sin for us, who took my guilt, your guilt upon himself on the cross. The Bible is the authority, God's message, God's voice, God's word to mankind, to you and I individually. We need to have confidence in the Bible. We need to have confidence in the message of the Bible. I think again, we can pay lip service to the Scriptures. And in our ministry, we continually come across people who are struggling in their life. And they come to us for counsel sometimes. Their marriage is falling apart. Their kids are going wild. Things are very difficult in their relationships. And as you look at their life and all that's going on, you take them back to the Scripture because the Scripture has the answers. And those same people who sit in church and say, oh yes, we love the Bible. Oh yeah, I read the Bible, yeah. When you point them to the specific answers in the Scripture, they backpedal. They say, no, thank you, that's too hard. I don't think that's going to work. You don't understand my situation. And every excuse in the book is drawn out. Well, what does that reveal? We don't really trust the Bible. We don't really have confidence in the Word of God. The solutions that God gives to us, right? I think we need to come back. We need to cut through all of the smoke and mirrors, as it were, and question in our own hearts, do I have that confidence in the Scripture? Do I have that commitment to the truth of the Word of God that I am willing to live by it? Okay, to absolutely commit myself in every area of my life, of my existence, of my home, of my family, of my work, of my education, in every area. To say, God's word is my foundation. God's word is my touchstone. God's word regulates me, right? I go to God's word for the wisdom of God. I go to God's word for light. I go to God's word for truth. And I don't trust any other source. I think that's a tremendous challenge for us. And I think something we need to be very serious about, right? Whatever our age. And of course, the younger you start making that confidence and the commitment, the better.
But whatever age and stage that we're at, the Lord in His grace allows us to come to Him and to reestablish that confidence, right? To reestablish that commitment. So that's really the basis, the antidote of what we look, the antidote to the problem that we're looking at here is confidence in the Bible and our commitment to apply the Word of God. So let's go to the Scripture and read 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as we do, what you will see is the issues, the problems that are described way back then that are as applicable today as they ever have been and will increasingly become more and more applicable. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting from verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. For of the sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow. Quite a description that we find in that one chapter. And it's interrelated with all of what the Apostle Paul is writing to this younger man, Timothy, in this second letter to him. Back in chapter 1 of this letter, Paul says this, "All those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." He begins to highlight to young Timothy an issue, a problem. Of those who professed faith, who professed to believe the Bible, but now have turned away. Is that a problem in our day? Yeah. Are we seeing that whole scale? We're seeing this huge movement of people who once professed to know the Lord, who now are falling away at an alarming rate. Interesting how the whole pandemic and all of the complexities of the pandemic brought that to the fore. It just exposed some of the stuff that was happening under the surface that we didn't realize was happening in people's minds and hearts. It forced people to make some decisions, as it were, right? Who am I? What am I? What is this all about? What is real and what isn't real? Right? So it really brought things into sharp focus. Paul says this, and he says with great sadness, there were those who were his companions. They were part of the professing group of Christians. And he says, most of them have turned away. And he mentions two people by name, obviously of great sadness to him, right? They've abandoned me. They've abandoned the faith. Then in chapter 2, verse 16, he says to young Timothy, he says, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. Again, he mentions two people here that had been part of this group. And at one time, they acknowledged the truth. They said they embraced the truth, but now they've strayed from the truth. And notice what he says. Their message will spread like cancer, right? An infection. Once you allow this into your mind, into your heart, he says it's going to have an increasingly negative impact and effect in you as a person and in those around about you as well. Think of a young fellow that I taught at Bible college many years ago. He came so eager to serve the Lord. And as soon as he arrived at Bible college, he started organizing the students to get out on the streets and go door to door and share the gospel. And oh, he just seemed to have a heart for the Lord. And he was going to take a year at Bible college and then go on to university and train. And he was going to go to an overseas country, a very difficult, closed country. And he was going to win people to Christ in this country. Finished his year at Bible college, went off to university. Before the end of his first year at university, he'd abandoned the faith. Completely abandoned the faith. He said, I always had doubts about the Bible, just never really voiced them. He said, I always just wondered how this Christianity stuff really works. But I was kind of too afraid. I was raised in a Christian home, raised in a good assembly. I was at Bible college. I thought people would think badly of me if I said anything. So I just kind of, you know, kept it to myself. He got into the university environment, started talking to one of his professors who was an out-and-out atheist, and this professor was very strong, and within a few short months, his faith was destroyed. He abandoned the faith. He then set out to pull down as many of the people that he knew who were professing Christians. He was on a mission to convince other young people that he had grown up with in the assembly, and the people that he had known at Bible college, he set out to pull them down, to convince them that the Bible had no authority, that the Bible was not to be trusted. And he pulled some others down with him. Like a cancer, it spread. It was interesting in that case that the Lord intervened in that young man's life. Strong, fit young man. And through a freak accident, the Lord took him away. And his life was terminated very, very abruptly. We need to have confidence in the Bible. We need to understand why we believe the Bible, what evidence there is. We need to understand the testimonies of others who have walked with the Lord, who have proven the scriptures again and again in their life. We need to surround ourselves with those who will help us more and more put down deep roots into the scripture. And if you put down roots into those who do not believe the scripture, you will find the cancer will spread. We read there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about those that we are to avoid. Don't hang around certain people because of the negative impact that they're going to have on us. So we need to exercise some wisdom, don't we? We need to be able to understand who we are as believers, why we believe what we believe, why we can have confidence in the scripture, and then commit to the scripture and renew that confidence and commitment again and again, because again and again we will be challenged on those things. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, he speaks of foolish and ignorant disputes which generate strife. We can be led down rabbit trails very quickly. My oldest brother was not a believer. He died, unfortunately, is not a believer. Was vehemently opposed to anything to do with the Lord. But he loved to just kind of fool around with people. And if he met somebody who was a Christian, he'd come up with these really ridiculous questions that he'd throw at people. Just to get people going, right? And he loved to kind of get the argument going. But he'd never let them even finish the argument. Then he jumped to another question. And he'd jump all over the place. You could never kind of pin him down. But he just thought it was a great joke, you know. And he just loved to do this kind of foolish and ignorant disputes. Just throw things at people, right? And again, we have to be so careful when we're dealing with people. To have some discernment to know if somebody's asking questions, we want to provide answers, but are they sincere? Or do they just want to play around with us? Do they just want to lead us one rabbit trail down another and they really don't want to, you know, find any answers? Some people just love to debate. Some people just love to argue. But we need to pray that the Lord would put us in contact with people who are sincerely seeking the truth. And then we need to work hard to commit ourselves to provide the answers to people in that situation and pray that the Spirit of God would direct us, that we would have patience. Sometimes, you know, a person will struggle to understand something in the Scripture. We need to have patience there if this is a genuine inquiry. But we need to avoid those foolish and ignorant disputes. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 25, he mentions those who are in opposition to the Scripture, who are in need of repentance so that they may know the truth. And verse 26 says they need to come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to do his will. So here's another dimension that we're dealing with here. Not just the intellectual questions of, you know, how do I understand the Bible? How do I have confidence in the Bible? But the whole spiritual warfare dimension, where the God of this world is blinding the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot and will not understand the Scripture, right? We need to understand that sometimes people are locked in bondage. Sometimes people are locked in various addictions, which are part of the devil's way of just confusing people and wrapping them up in a lifestyle where they can't even think clearly. And sometimes it takes a long time to unravel some of that. And sometimes it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of spiritual insight to know how to proceed with people. Because Satan may have people in his grip, in his snare. How do we handle that kind of situation? And again, I think it's very instructive when you look at the life of the Lord Jesus. How did he handle the attacks of Satan? Okay, with the Word of God. He answered the insinuations, the attacks of the devil by quoting truth. Truth. It's truth that triumphs over evil, the evil of the devil, right? It's the light of the Word of God that dispels the darkness that Satan and the demons are trying to push upon people. It's the light of the Scriptures. It's the truth that we need. And we need to start there. So we need to understand the Word of God ourselves. We need to know the Word of God ourselves. We need to have confidence in the Word of God. We need to have a commitment to live out the Word of God. And in that realm, we can stand firm against the devil and his attacks. Then we come back into 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. He speaks about those who have a form of godliness but deny its power. They have a shell. They have a profession. They have a look-alike. It sure looks like the real deal, right? And, you know, we can really fool each other pretty easily. Say the right words, make the right noises, attend the right meetings or whatever, you know. We can fool other people. But it's interesting how you don't fool yourself. You know what's happening within your heart and your mind. That's one of the first things we need to do, is to be honest with ourselves. Need to be honest with ourselves. Don't play games, right? Games will bring you into slavery and bondage and hypocrisy. Those kind of games don't help you and they don't help anybody else. We need to just be open and sincere and honest and upfront. What's really happening in my heart, right? Maybe you're sitting here today. Maybe you sit here every Sunday. I don't know. But in your heart, there are issues, there are problems. Maybe in the secret, you're involved with all kinds of sinful activities and habits. Maybe you're occupied with self. Maybe you have an anger problem that you've just never honestly dealt with. Maybe there's an addiction of some kind to pornography or something else. Maybe there's just this rage within inside of you, this bitterness perhaps, or a root of unforgiveness that you've just been hiding and covering over. You know it's there, and you know how it bothers you. You know how it trips you up, but you just don't know, you just want to pretend that it's not there. Just pretend that it'll all just dissipate. It'll disappear in a while. And it doesn't, does it? We need to deal with those things. We need to be honest with those things. We need to seek out the help that we need to overcome those things so we can move on and make progress. It's hard to run when you've got a ball and chain attached to your leg. It just doesn't work very well, right? And so we need to be honest with dealing with those things. Sometimes if we are honest and we go to the scriptures to read the scripture honestly and we confess to the Lord, Lord, I need help in this area. Please show me from your word, what is the answer? What is the solution? How do I make progress? The Lord will teach us. The Lord will show us those things if we really want help. You know, fascinating that Jesus, as he encountered people, he said, do you want to be made well? Say, what a question. Doesn't everybody want to be made well? No. Some people love to be victims. Some people love to be miserable. And they're stuck in their misery. It's an excuse to be able just to be miserable, to feel down, to not do things. It's fascinating. Us human beings are very complex, aren't we? And there are times that we don't want to be free. We don't want God's solutions. Because actually we want our own thing. We want our own feelings. That's tragic because our own way is always destructive, right? It's always unhelpful. And we need, I think, to be honest and we need to go to the Lord. We need to check our own mind and heart. Do I want to be made well? Do I really want the Lord to work in my life? Do I really want God to transform me and make me more like the Lord Jesus? We need to be open, right? The worst thing is to have a form of godliness, to be playing the part, to have the picture. Isn't one of the dangers for us as parents and grandparents, sometimes we just want to make our kids act Christianly so they don't embarrass us, right? You're a good little Christian. Now just don't you be embarrassed me in public, right? You sit and you be quiet and don't say anything you shouldn't, right? And so often we go for the outward look instead of for the heart. What's the point of creating an outward look? And then as soon as they're old enough and outside, out of our roof, they're gone. And like, whew, okay, I can dump all of that stuff now. I never believed it in any case. Surely we should want their heart. We should want to train their heart. We want to get their heart so that at a heart level, we can communicate with them and they can communicate with us and we can build in the Word of God. Not just create an outward picture. Not just house train them. Right? I think that's so crucial. Again, we don't want to go for just the form, but deny the reality and deny the power of God. The Apostle Paul longed to experience more and more of that resurrection power of the Lord Jesus in his life, right? The reality of transformation day by day. He wanted to not just acknowledge the authority of God. He wanted to apply the authority of God in his life and commit to that. Verse 7 of 2 Timothy 3 says, always learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth. We recently were chatting to somebody and my wife and I concluded that they were exactly in this spot. We've met with them many, many times. We basically told them all that we know how to tell them in terms of the scripture. And yet, after a number of years, they are no further ahead than where they were 20 years ago. They're stuck in the same place. It's like we've given them everything we can. We've taught them, we've shared the principles of Scripture with them to honestly deal with their situation. Still in the same place. They're always reading books. They're always running around asking people, what do you think? What should I do? Here's my situation. And they're running all over and they're ever learning. But they've never come to knowledge of the truth. They're stuck in darkness, in blindness, in emptiness, in vanity. They're stuck in lies and deception. What an awful place to be. What an awful place to be. Boy, you know, when you give up on that and you truly walk into the freedom of acknowledging and implementing the Word of God, the shackles fall away, right? The chains are broken. If you know the truth sets you free. Don't live in deception. Don't live in deception. Don't be always chasing the newest thing, the newest book, the newest movie, the newest seminar that's out. You know, in our day and time, it's such a danger. You can go on the internet and endlessly find tens of thousands of Christian
books and DVDs and presentations. And we know people who just run from one thing to another. And they're learning. They can tell you all kinds of interesting facts and they can quote people. But they're stuck at the same place. They're not growing spiritually. They're not walking with the Lord. That's tragic. We don't want a form of godliness. We don't want to be ever learning but never come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:8 mentions another two people, Jannes and Jambres, who resisted Moses, and they resisted the truth. And Paul speaks of his day and time. Those who resist the truth, right? And it's sad. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I read the Bible. But I'm resisting the truth, okay? I'm denying the truth. I'm guarded. I'm cautious. I don't want to implement it, right? Resisting what God wants to do in our lives. Or we need to throw the doors open. And we need to say to the Lord, Lord, you do what you want to do. Whenever, wherever, however. You do it, Lord. And we need to just bring down those barriers, right? We need to open our minds and our arms to the Lord and say, Lord, you come in. I don't want to resist your truth anymore. I want to embrace your truth. Right? I want to apply it and I want to live in the beautiful reality of your truth. We come to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and kind of brings us to a climax. And it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? The scripture, the word of God, the Bible, has been given to us by God. He has worked through individuals, through people, through nations, through circumstances, and he has brought this all together, just converged into what we have today, which we call the Bible. And it's a marvelous gift. It's a deposit of truth. It's a statement of reality. It's a statement of God's grace and love to us. And it's a statement of wisdom, of wisdom. This is the word of God. All scripture has been breathed out by God, and he has worked to bring it about. And, you know, to study the subject of bibliology, as it's called, it's a fascinating study to see how we got the Bible and the processes that the Lord has used over the years to safeguard his word. Sometimes we can kind of get bent out of shape and we can argue about which version we should use. But you know what's fascinating? Is in even some of the most, what we might think of, corrupted versions, the Holy Spirit has worked to save people. Because the essentials of his word are there. Even when people have tried to cut out certain sections of the scripture, and they have worked hard to twist the scripture, the Lord has overseen it, that there are certain essentials left in there, which they didn't even realize they've left in there. You can take a New World Translation, a Jehovah's Witness translation, and you could lead somebody to Christ. Because even though they've tried so hard to deny the deity of Christ, they've tried so hard to deny salvation by faith alone, and they've tried to teach salvation by works, and they've introduced man-made systems and everything else, but they forgot to remove certain parts of the Scripture. And the Holy Spirit can work even in that worst corrupted situation. The Lord has overseen and protected his word. Now, I don't recommend reading that translation because there's too much there that's incorrect. But I think we can have great confidence. What we hold in our hands in the Bible is not just a book. It's the only inspired book. We use that term inspired very loosely, you know. But really when we think of God breathing his spirit out and into his book, there's only one inspired book, one trustworthy book, one book that you can have confidence in. There's one book that you can build your life and your eternity on, and that is the Bible, the Bible. Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God as his sword, and it's quick, it's sharp, it's powerful. It's amazing what he can do with that word. It's a hammer. It's a fire. It's a light. And he can accomplish great things with it. How sad when we say, well, yeah, Bible, but all these other books. Oh, now you're talking. You've got to read these 40 books, right, to be a real Christian. We shoot ourselves in the foot when we do that. Like we have a sufficient book. We have an authoritative book, the Scriptures. We haven't spent enough time in it, right? And sometimes we'll spend 5 minutes doing devotions and then hours and hours reading other people's opinions about the Bible. We need to switch that around, don't we? Right? And we need to spend the bulk of our time in reading the Scripture, You say, but I find it hard and it's a big book. Well, first talk to the author before you start to read. Novel idea, right? Okay, Lord, this is your book. You wrote it. You teach me, please. Right? And it's a wonderful thing because the Lord delights to use his word to teach us and mold us and shape us and direct us and to speak to us, given by inspiration of God. This is an understatement. It's profitable. Okay, that's an understatement. Yeah, it's profitable. You better believe it's profitable. It's essential, right? It's powerful. We need the scripture in our life. I need the scripture every moment of every day. It is profitable. It is so profitable. It is so beneficial. I'd highly recommend that we get into it. And it's profitable for doctrine, for the substance of the scripture, those teachings, the framework of the scripture, that bedrock knowledge that we need. But from that bedrock knowledge, it's reproof and correction, instruction in righteousness, right? That's practical. It directs our steps in the way that we ought to go. It shines a light on the darkness that we ought to avoid. It tells us what's right and wrong and good and bad. Do we need that in our day and time? Wow. When everybody is saying there is no right and wrong, there is no good and bad, whatever your reality is, you just make it up as you go along. And No. Why, we need the wisdom of the scriptures to know what is right. What is truth? The scripture is profitable. It is beneficial. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. That teaching, that building into our lives step by step, piece by piece, line upon line, precept upon precept. What does it mean to live as a Christian in the 21st century? What does it mean to live right now at this stage in 2023 in Charlottetown, PEI, as a believer? What does it mean to be a Christian when you go to work? What does it mean to be a woman of God to your neighbors? How does that work? What does that look like? You'll find the answers in the scripture. What does it mean to be a young person? What does it mean to stand for the Lord through school and college and university? You'll find the answers in the scripture, right? What does it mean to deal with issues in my life from the past, hurts that I've had? You'll find the answers in the scripture. It's there. If we will take the time to read, he'll teach us. He will teach us that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See what God is doing? He's building into our lives. He's fashioning us. He's transforming us. He's molding us so that we can be men and women of God instead of men and women of the world. Instead of men and women who are merely committed to self and pursuit of pleasure and convenience and comfort. Men and women of God, men and women who belong to God, men and women who are characterized by Christ-likeness, men and women who are filled with the Spirit of God, men and women who have light and truth instead of darkness and lies and deception characterizing their daily walk, men and women who raise godly children, men and women who are godly grandparents, men and women who reach out in their circle of friends. When you're golfing, when you're fishing, whatever you're doing, men and women of God, what a statement to be a man of God, to be a woman of God. There's no shortcut. You can't become a man or woman of God by going to a seminar. Doesn't work that way. You need the scriptures. You need the Word of God. You need to be drinking heavily from the Scriptures. You need to be pushing those roots down. You need to be doing the work, making the sacrifices, taking the time to access the Word of God, to pore over the Word of God, to wrestle with the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to memorize the Word of God, to soak yourself in the Word of God and let the Word of God soak you so that you can be complete, mature, thoroughly equipped, prepared as a man and woman of God. Equipped for everything that the Lord wants to do through you. Do you think sometimes this process is short-circuited? God wants to use us in a certain direction, but we're neglecting the Word of God, and so we're not the man or woman that we ought to be, and therefore he can't use us in the way that he wants to? Yeah, it happens again and again. We see that in people's lives. their purpose, their calling is short-circuited because they neglect and ignore the Word of God. We need to have confidence in the Bible. And we need to renew our commitment to apply the truths of God's Word in every area of our lives. Give up on self. Give up on the world. Go with the Scripture. Implement the Word of God. Don't let Satan lead you into his snare and tie you up, that you stray from the truth. Cling to the truth. Love the truth. Implement that truth. When the authority of God's Word is rejected, the result is apostasy. That's the reality. But when we implement the Word of God in our lives, the result will be transformation. Transformation. Let's pray. Father, your word is truth. You sanctify by your truth. And your will for us is our sanctification. You desire that we walk in truth, even as you are truth. Thank you that you have given us the Bible. Thank you that you have spoken. Thank you that you have revealed yourself. You've revealed your truth to us. Lord, we confess how little we have taken advantage of this huge privilege that we have. We confess that how often our Bibles are dusty and lost and neglected and lying on the floor, how seldom we open them, and how seldom we hide your word in our heart. Give us grace to reverse that trend, Lord. Give us the courage to have confidence in your word, to stand on your word, no matter who else does or doesn't. Father, we pray for a commitment to apply and to live out the realities and truth of your word. Would you do that, Lord, by the power of the Spirit? Would you take the word of God as your sword and just cut and pierce and expose and open up and speak to our hearts, to our minds? Shake us out of our apathy. Shake us out of our lame excuses that we use. And let us be honest with ourselves and with you. And may the entrance of your word bring light. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.